He was paralyzed from the neck down, but Ian McCall didn't let it stop him from living his best life. He's traveled over 36,000 miles and inspired an international movement. You're going to meet Ian McCall today on Driven by Purpose.
This is Driven by Purpose, a show about finding your purpose, building fulfilling careers, and helping people with disabilities live better lives. Hosted by three men who've lived it and are here to help you do the same. Special thanks to our presenting sponsor, Clean Logic, a leading bath and skincare company and a true pioneer in creating inclusive workplaces and increasing employment opportunities for people with disabilities.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Driven by Purpose. My name is Evan Rosenblum, along with my two co-hosts, Mike Gesser and Isaac Shapiro, the co-founders of Clean Logic and the Inspiration Foundation. What's up, fellas?
How you doing, Evan?
I'm great, man. I'm great. We got a guest that I cannot wait to talk about. This dude, I mean, he's not only an inspiration, he's a great dude. Got into an accident in 2008. He was cycling, hit a tree, spinal cord injury, paralyzed from the waist down. That would stop a lot of people. Now, this guy's put 10,000 miles on his, more than 10,000 miles on his power chair since then. Inspired a ton of people, started a movement. I cannot wait to talk to this guy. Started Ian's Ride, something that's taken over the country, taken over the world. Ian McKay joins us right now on Driven by Purpose. Ian, welcome to the show, man.
Welcome to the show, Ian.
Thanks, Evan. No, I'm happy to be here. And yeah, I got paralyzed from the neck down.
Oh, I'm sorry, neck down. My bad. I apologize.
And geez, in the past 10 years, I've 36,000 miles in a
man. I have shortchanged you in the worst possible way, man. I apologize. only by about 25,000 miles. My bad.
It's amazing. Over the last 10 years, I've averaged 10 miles a day.
That's incredible, wow, man. Wow. All right, so let's start with your story, because I know, you know, I've learned about you. I know you were a big outdoorsman. And then you were like, what, 25, 26 years old when you had your accident?
So I was 26 years old. I was living down in Santa Cruz, California, going to UC Santa Cruz, studying biology. Kind of that was my passion. I really wanted to kind of teach at the community college level and take people out on field bio trips, you know, introduce them to the natural world and, you know, get to explore. Anyway, one June day in 2008, I was riding home from campus. Now, UC Santa Cruz is up on this hill, and you know, you get to ride. So every morning you get to hop on this trailer and they tow your bike up to the top of the hill. But then at the end of the day, you get to really enjoy that big hill down. And so you kind of haul ass and you're riding down into downtown Santa Cruz and looking out into the beautiful Monterey Bay. Anyway, hit some sand head first into a tree, C2, C3 spinal cord injury.
Oh my goodness.
Spent the next 3 months in rehab, kind of trying to learn how to live as a paralyzed man. I mean, I was pretty quickly put on a ventilator, and I spent the next year on a vent. And, you know, I think you're laying there in that bed and, you know, you can't feel or move anything below your neck. I couldn't speak, you know, because I had a tube going down my throat so that I could breathe. And, you know, you start thinking about, damn, you know, you have all these future plans, these aspirations, yeah. It's like all these goals that you've had for so long. And how the hell do you realize those with this broken body, you know? And, yeah, so a lot of depression. You know, I'm very fortunate to have a, you know, really strong community, both in the college world and just family. And so a lot of people rallied around me, but I just, you know, was really dwelling on the negatives there. But I had to move away from you know, California to live with family up in Port Angeles, Washington. That's where I live now. And yeah, I've spent kind of like the last 18 years trying to figure out how to make it all work, and I've done some pretty cool things in those 18 years.
Yeah, you have.
So one day, like, you're sitting there and all of a sudden you just decide you're in your power chair, which, by the way, shout out to like all these people that have put efforts into really focusing on technology that empowers people in the disability community. Because, you know, we've talked about this on my show. I have a daughter who has severe cerebral palsy. She's nonverbal, she's non-ambulatory. And the technology, the people who focus on technology to help people like my daughter to really express herself and to move and all that stuff, it's been incredible. And I know with your power chair in particular, like it's powered by your breath, right?
Yeah, so I use a sip and puff drive, and what that is, there's a straw at my lips, and if I puff kind of a hard puff, I can get the chair rolling going forward. If I sustain that puff, it'll go faster, and a hard sip will stop the chair, or at least slow it down until I want it to stop. To navigate, do it left and right, it's kind of a soft puff and a lot soft sip. And so, you know, it's not intuitive. It took a little while to figure out. But I'll tell you guys, the most valuable part about this straw is just being able to itch my nose. Because it can be rough out there, man. We got an itching straw.
Yeah.
So one day you're sitting there and you decide, you know, enough sitting around, and you just decide to just go out on a drive one day.
Yeah, well, you know, you mentioned technology. The first big thing was I finally got an iPhone that I could control completely independently by voice. And that was awesome. And I actually, when we started doing that, Apple reached out to us and asked us to come down to Cupertino and chat with them. And I've been consulting with Apple for the past 10 years.
That's awesome.
Yeah, wow.
On just, you know, how to improve their hands-free tech so that, you know, I can utilize a phone in the same way everyone else can. But anyway, once I had that, I could start kind of exploring independently. I could go out on the trail. It's only a third of a mile from my house. And it turns out I could go pretty much 70 miles either direction, barrier free. And
that's so cool.
Right before I was injured, you know, I was really into bike touring. I was really loving riding my bike a lot and getting to ride across the state. You know, that was a, you know, fun thing. It was a romantic idea to kind of go see the state. On a bike and, you know, with your friends, you get to drink a beer at the end of the day. It was a lot of fun. And, you know, I felt like I'd lost that, but eventually, you know, probably was like, I don't know, 8 years or so after my injury, I was riding a lot out on the trail, and I said, hey, maybe I can kind of relive that bike touring experience just doing it in a chair. And so I called up my buddies that I used to do those long rides with, and, you know, they were on board, and we, designed a ride where I rode across Washington State from north to south. It was pretty awesome.
So Ian, what was that moment? Like, what was that moment? Do you remember that moment where you're just like, I've had enough of this. I'm going to get up and go. Like, what was that spark inside you that kind of pushed you out? Do you know what I mean?
Well, so where I live on the Olympic Peninsula, we're fortunate. We get this awesome rain shadow. So there's not nearly as much rain as much of Washington. And guys, Washington's a beautiful state.
Yeah.
I mean, just getting out there, it kind of lifts me up and wants me to keep going. And I think that was it. It was that smell of the earth after the rain. It was, you know, absorbing all these new flowering plants I wasn't as accustomed to, or, you know, just seeing the beauty of the big trees around me. You know, it just fires you up. It lifts you up, and it makes me feel like I wasn't paralyzed anymore. And yeah, it was a big thing. But during that big ride, all of a sudden, you know, all these other people in wheelchairs were interested and wanted to join along with us. And then, you know, people that are kind of policymakers were following. And I got to meet like the mayor in Tukwila up here. I was invited to go speak with Governor Inslee after the whole ride to talk about the importance of accessible infrastructure. And how much it aligns with just cyclists. So, you know, develop good stuff for the bicycling community. And that really works awesome. Well. Works well for me, yeah.
Well, Ian, can you explain to our community and our audience, excuse me, that, you know, we love purpose-driven, you know, people. Can you just define the mission for people that maybe don't know much about Ian's ride? You've given us some background on yourself, but give us the mission in plain words of what you're trying to accomplish with Ian's ride.
Definitely, that transitioned perfectly because, you know, when I went out to go have fun, you know, with my friends, drink a beer at the end of the day and just have a good time, kind of became bigger than me where, you know, policymakers are asking my opinion on different infrastructure questions and, you know, other wheelchair users are really fascinated and wanting to join up. And so when I was all wrapped up, you know, I wanted to be able to keep doing this, but it was expensive and I'm really dependent on state benefits. And so if I raise money, all of a sudden I can lose that. So a nonprofit would allow me to raise money to keep doing these awesome things. And so we we kind of created the nonprofit with three tiers. So community is one tier, you know, peer support. It was another individual living with spinal cord injury that showed me kind of what was possible out there and introduced me to an iPhone. And it was technology that allowed me to really kind of start exploring outside and doing all of this. But, you know, just from my background, from my love, I want to be outside as much as possible. And so that's the third part. It's just, I don't want to pave the world, guys, but, you know, when possible, let's avoid barriers. Let's not put in stairs. Let's not put in, you know, just drainage and dips or things that are going to just screw us up. Just be thoughtful with your design and make it available to all of us.
Absolutely.
What, you know, you've been out and about and exploring. You've had so many, you know, if you look at your Instagram page, and by the way, if you're watching this right now, go find Ian's Instagram. Ian, give people the handle real quick.
Yeah, it's just going to be Ian's Ride on Instagram. Facebook also, it looks up just straight Ian's Ride.
Yeah.
Or the website, iansride.com.
It's awesome. I mean, where you're going and what you document, you know, your experiences, it's great. It's inspirational. I love it. You know, like I said, my daughter, she's a daredevil, man. She loves it. She's been surfing. She goes out, we explore, we go on runs. She's done 5K, 10K runs. Like she loves this stuff. You know, and it's just, you know, when we see other people in our community, they're going out there and doing things that we don't even think about. We don't even know is possible. It's just, we're like, okay, that's cool. We got to put that on the list. We want to do stuff like that too. What are things that you see other people doing that are on your list that you want to do next? Like what's next for you?
Oh, geez. All right. Well, a couple of things. So, you know, I did that big ride north to south in Washington in 2016. Every 2 years after that, I did another big ride. So 2018, I did east to west Washington. Yeah. 2020, I did Northern California to Fort Bragg, or Brookings, Oregon to Fort Bragg. But then in 2022, after that 2020 ride, you know, I'm on the highway and I was kind of endangering my crew a little bit. And I decided I wanted to focus on trails after that. So I made a great relationship with the Rails to Trails Conservancy, and now I've been focusing on rail trails. And so I got to ride from Washington, D.C. to Columbus, Ohio, all along the Great American Rail Trail.
Wow.
This 2024, I got to do Missouri on the Katy Trail, the longest rail trail in the U.S.
That's so cool.
So this year, we're going to be doing the Erie Canal Trail across New York.
Awesome.
which will be pretty fun. And so that's something I'm looking forward to. But the more exciting thing is we haven't mentioned, and back in 2022, I did get the Guinness World Record for the furthest distance traveled in 24 hours in a mouth-controlled power wheelchair.
Congratulations. And,
hell yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about.
184 miles in wow. 24 hours. But I became aware of this this record because after I was doing some of my longer rides, I'm like, okay, what is the longest ride someone's done in a wheelchair? And I found out there's this dude in South Korea that's gone thousands of miles over 18 months. And it was something I couldn't commit to. But I looked a little further and he also had this 24-hour ride. And I'm like, all right, I could do anything for 24 hours. How hard could it be? Turns out it sucks, man. Doing anything for 24 hours is miserable. But anyway, I did complete the record and I got it. But over the years, I've developed a really close friendship with this man in Korea.
Amazing.
And he overtook my record just a couple of months back.
Friendly competition.
And so now we are talking about, you know, first maybe getting together and trying to do something together. But I'm also wanting to kind of take back the record.
Yeah, let's go. We got to get it back. So
U.S. versus South Korea.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, but yeah, it's been a really, really fun, like, you know, global competition. And yeah,
we're amazing. Not quite sure
when we're going to make that happen, but we're really on board and where that's going to be. But yeah, it's been a cool relationship to develop.
One of the things I want to also give you credit for that I think is really cool and really shows the beauty of the community is that you've tapped artists from the disability community to design logos for Ian's Ride. And I think that's so cool. I know one of the people from 2025 designed the logo. He's paralyzed from the waist down and used his mouth.
Shoulders
to paint.
Down. Yeah.
Shoulders
yeah,
down.
Yeah. So what we're talking about here is Ian's Ride Well, after I did some of these really long rides, I realized how impactful and how much they affected me. And you know, I wanted to find a way out. Could I offer this to the community? Because it was resource heavy. I needed all these people to help drive and, you know, it's expensive for hotels and fuel and food and everything else. And just having the community, the friends to be out there to help when shit goes down, you know?
Yeah.
And so after that, I decided, okay, let's create an event. I'm right here along the Olympic Discovery Trail, which is, you know, about 80 miles of accessible space. And why don't I create a 3-day ride for all the folks in the community, invite all the wheelchair users up, invite all my friends from California up to help support and push chairs when needed. And it's become awesome. I mean, this past year we had 150, that's so cool. 150 individuals. And yeah, we invite, wow. you know, painters in the disability world. This last year was a mouth painter to that's create so cool. the logo. And then we have all this different swag we offer. But I mean, we also, and really neat thing is we invite who we call dignitaries, and they're kind of people of influence in maybe the infrastructure world or maybe the mobility equipment world. And so, you know, we've had, you know, the state senators and state congressmen and the mayors and that's the county so commissioners. Cool, and what we do is we put them in a chair for 5 miles. And so then they're out there with everybody and they're kind of getting that experience and they're recognizing, you know, the importance of having infrastructure that is possible to make all this happen. But what else we did this past year is we had the COO of Invacare fly out from Ohio, and they're developing the equipment that allows us to do things like this. And for them to see, you know, people out there really having some great outdoor recreation in the equipment they're offering and seeing the limitations and how they can improve is a huge thing. And so, we're really proud that we've been able to, have some influence on both the infrastructure side and the equipment side to, improve the experience.
You know, about the influence, which I think is very important. My daughter also is in a wheelchair, and I find there's so many obstacles trying to get around to do simple little things, going to a restaurant, going to even, you know, the store and for me specifically, the beach, right? Getting to her onto the sand is a whole process in itself. So when we're talking about influence with like senators and governors and things like that, how do you get that out? How do you get them to make change, or have you, or like what type of experiences have you had there? Because for me, like it's so important, you know?
No, I think the best way we've been able to create some change is really making it personal for them, right? Especially we all have a family member or a close friend with some kind of disability that affects their mobility. And you know, why would we want to restrict, you know, with their experiences? Yeah. And I think you make that connection, and, or, you know, like you putting them in a chair, make them, you know, spend an hour or two in our wheels. Right. And I think that's been an effective way to, to at least get them thinking about the topic and hopefully voting for that kind of change.
Kind of reminds me of our dining in the dark and why we do our dining in the dark. You know, my mom being blind and bringing in people, and we blindfold them for an hour and 15 minutes and we see the impact. And, you know, I've even heard in the wheelchair community, there's, you know, some things about, you know, not everybody wants people experiencing that, but I feel like that is such an experience when people can empathize and be like, wow, I didn't realize that. So that's just good. You know, it just reminds me, we got to get you connected with Roy Cooper. I don't know if you've connected with him, University of Pittsburgh, Paralympian. I got to connect Evan and Mike. We got to get him on the show, but has one of the top three or something world patents. And a lot of his patents are around wheelchairs and doing stuff for the Paralympics. So I got to get all you guys connected. Yeah,
100%.
He's got some amazing, amazing video and stuff that he's done to just come up to make things accessible, changing beds. We got to get him on here. And I love to connect you too, because you're starting to solve some problems with, you know, trails and what happens if it's not accessible. So that would be interesting to how do you create something that, you know, you could still go where it's not accessible.
Yeah, you know, and I say I want to do all this for, you know, the betterment of whatever. But really, guys, I just don't want to be alone out there on the trail, right? Make it easy so my buddies can be out there having fun with me, right?
100%. I have a couple of questions for you, too, real fast. Number one, you know, a lot of people who go searching for content like this on social media, I feel like are people who are new to the community and are looking, you know, they're like, oh man, I don't know what the rest of my life's going to be at. You know, I was one of those people when my daughter was born and I was like, what, you know, so my question is this, like for people who are either new to SCI and want to know like, oh, what does my life look like? To somebody who's just, I'm sure you've had conversations with people who just suffered SCI. Like, what is something that you tell them when you're connected with somebody who's like, you know, just off of a new spinal cord injury or something like that?
Yeah, well, there's a couple things. I mean, I do a lot of peer support. I run you know, at least one peer support group a week, and some virtual, some in person. And I'm also doing a lot of things with folks that are just kind of transitioning out of the hospital. And that's one of the hardest things because, you know, first it's all so new, right?
Yeah.
And you don't know what to expect, and but you don't even know what questions to ask. But at some point you have to leave that hospital and go home. And at the hospital you have this convenience of smooth floors, of wide doorways, of a call button, you know, of a routine of therapists that are coming through to do different things. And, you know, it's all, and occupational therapists are teaching you about different tools that are going to help. All that's great. But once you get home, you know, none of that is there. And so trying to really help them with that transition and making them understand, you know, that often they don't want to reinvent the wheel and come join some of these groups, learn from others, you know, talk with folks that have dealt with these challenges. I think that's a big one, but one of the bigger ones that I'm still working with and that is making, you know, being okay with just asking for help.
Yep.
Right. I mean, I think so many of us are used to, you know, lending that hand, you know, being the helper, and you know, when all of a sudden those roles are reversed, it can be really hard. You know, all of a sudden you're dependent on others, and that can, you know, really affect your ego. And but I think I try to look at it like, you know, I did a lot of help and supported folks before I was injured, and I did that because it made me feel good, right? I did that because it was a positive thing to do. And you know, I think sometimes it can be a gift to let people you know, help you out with something, right? It's a way to connect. And I think just letting people know, hey, it's okay to ask for help, and you know, we're stronger together, and you know, why not, you know, bring those people in. And
yeah,
I think those are some of the bigger things I try to suggest to them.
I love what you're doing. You know, I think one of the things, we had Dr. Kirk Adams on here a couple of shows back, where he talked about losing his sight, going home from school, and the trauma that he experienced. And he actually didn't even understand trauma until he got his first therapist in adulthood. So he went through childhood and going through this change in his life. And he, you know, father was a basketball coach, he said, and it's like, you just got to do this, we got to do that. So he, at an older life, is now consulting and being a peer to people that lose their sight and being like, hey, get a therapist, and doing that. So how much have you engaged that, or how do you look at that? Because I think that's something in our society, I think a lot of people still think, oh, you're using therapists, what's wrong with you? You know, so I'm a big, proud therapist user for over 10 years.
Me too,
so,
man.
So talk to about that.
No, yeah, I mean, it goes back to reinventing the wheel, I think, in some ways. But being able to just share, I think, those emotional feelings. I mean, just how that experience affected you. And, you know, sometimes it's hard because it does bring you back to that dark time. And, you know, you got to kind of put yourself back in their shoes. And those were miserable for me, guys. But I think... yeah, just trying to create an open space where people are feeling comfortable sharing the challenges they have. And one of the biggest things is family. You know, we often are asking the most of those that are closest to us, right? And we can
totally
take it out on those closest to us. And, you know they're usually going to be tolerant because they know what we're going through. But it still just rips, you know, it just rips your heart apart. Yeah. And so, you know, creating those spaces where people feel safe sharing, and, you know, and opening yourself up, you know, so that, you know, you're being vulnerable as well. But I think, you know, one other, we offer probably 7 or 8 smaller rides throughout the year. And I call them kind of just like support groups on wheels is what they are. Cause, you know, they're out there,
you
know, they're all, you know, know, people with similar interests, and you know, we all often are dealing with similar challenges. So why not share some resources or
100%.
Some ideas?
100%.
Look, I know you're a big craft beer guy. Before we get out of here, give me three that we got to try. I know you've been all over the world trying craft beers.
Yeah,
what are three that stick out that we got to try?
Well, you know, Pliny the Elder from Russian River is always,
hell yeah,
is always up there.
I'm writing it down, by the way.
You know, up here, anything by Rubens is pretty tasty. I've been enjoying that. What else? You know, Tart of Darkness, for those of
Tart
you that
of
like,
Darkness,
like the sours. Those are kind of, that's the kind of.
Oh, you're fun. A sours guy.
I enjoy them all, but yeah, that's a fun one too.
Nice, dude. That's amazing, bro. Ian, it has been such a pleasure having you on this show, man. It is so great talking to you. I'm so excited to follow your journey as you continue to go places. And look, I hope that, you know, me and my daughter and Mike and his daughter and Isaac, you know, hopefully we can join you on one of these things one of these days.
Yeah, we'd love that. We'd really love that. One thing I haven't mentioned also is you can read all about my story in our book.
Yes.
I have a book out. Yes.
Nice.
Ian's Ride, A Long Distance Journey to Joy. You can find it on Amazon or through our website, Ian's Ride. And, you know, with that Guinness World Record, you know, in the relationship with Apple, I'd started a couple of commercials with Apple and made really good relationships with that production team. And they created a full-length documentary.
How about it?
Over that Guinness World Record that will be coming out this year.
No, that's awesome.
So I can't wait to share it with the world. Yeah.
Amazing.
Shot on an iPhone?
Oh, no. Gotcha. No, this was expensive. Big, giant cameras.
Just checking.
That's pretty epic. Yeah. Amazing. Thank you so much. I can't tell you how much we appreciate having you on. It was great to meet you, man. What a great conversation. Thank you so much. Guys, this is going to do it for us here at Driven by Purpose. If you like the show, remember, like, subscribe, comment, tell a friend. That's how we grow this community. We appreciate your support. And also make sure to follow Ian. It's awesome.
Thanks, do it.
And we'll see you next time. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Ian.
Thank you, Ian.
Thank you.